It's really good to see you. We thought we'd do the talk this morning in a bit like the one show, you know, a bit like sort of people gathered together around the cities on the chairs. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Simon. I'm the team vicar based down at St. Thomas's. And this is Dave. And Dave's the church warden based at Thomas.
Good morning. Is that on? Is that working?
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone.
Dave is the church warden, Dave's at St. Thomas's, and Joe is the, you can choose yourself.
I don't know so many roles. Secretary of the DCC, I think it is at the moment. You have to imagine I'm sitting at the end of a big red sofa.
That's right. What we can do is bits between us, come with us. So this year, the PCC has decided that the project for Gift Day will be the Epiphany Project. Now, some of you will know exactly what we mean by the Epiphany Project. Others of you will have no idea at all what it is, and you'll need to know some details. Some of you may know a little bit about it, and you might have heard it being mentioned before, but you'd want to know a bit more. Some others will know lots about it, but actually you just want to be able to share that with others and share the enthusiasm. So I hope by the end of this morning we've had a chance to get to know the project a little bit more, depending on where you are at the moment. Why do the Epiphany Project? We do the Epiphany Project because we're the Epiphany Parish. It's a parish project that's been worked up by the PCC over 3 years now, two or three years now. PCC's had a number of reports on this, and it's been brought together by the PCC. And its main role is to repurpose some of our buildings in our parish to fulfil the Walbrook Epiphany vision that I hope a number of you already know, that we've all been talked about this morning in our readings. The Walbrook Epiphany vision is to be a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, who puts lonely in families and sets prisoners free. The starting point is the Walbrook Epiphany vision that's been here with us for 15 years, something like that. And if you read it in the Message version, the more contemporary version, it says this: the father of orphans, the champion of widows, is God in his holy house. Our God makes homes for the homeless and leads prisoners to freedom. And the vision we're going to share with you this morning has taken a long time to come into fruition. It's come a long journey to get here, but it all started with that vision statement that many of us have spent many a PCC away day reflecting on and discussing together as a church. As I say, it's quite an extensive project, but it's to repurpose two of our buildings that we own as a parish, as a PCC. They're not somebody else's buildings, they're our church's buildings that we own as a PCC. So it's not happening to somebody else, it's happening to us. Namely, St. Thomas's Church, and primarily St. Thomas's Church Hall. Most of you know already that St. Thomas's has had about 10 years of repair work and restoration work on it, and a lot of work has gone into that. And I think it was Patrick Douglas, one of our curates many, many years ago, remember Patrick, who said to me, don't just repair the church building, don't just build a church building, but build church of people. And he really cut me to the quick and said, you need to work with God to see the people of God restored in that place. And St. Thomas's community is what's emerged in that place. And we get about 12 adults and about 7 children who have quite a bouncy service, as you heard just now, as we play our drums and our guitars, our tambourines. And Dave's even installed a ball pool in the church. So we're a very lively bunch down there. So what is this Epiphany Project? What do we want to do? Well, there are 3 main components, and we'll go through those in turn in the next 10-15 minutes. First, we want to create a safe place to live. A safe place to live. And that links to our Psalm 68 vision to make homes for the homeless. And setting free those imprisoned by what life has come against them over the last few years. Those of you in Gathering Place will know it's not literally prisoners behind bars, but people are caught in things like debt and caught in struggles of poverty. We meet them all the time in this parish. It's not necessarily prisoners who are behind bars that we have to set free. We're working alongside Green Pastures. Now, Green Pastures are a Christian charity. They've been around for a number of years, and they build accommodation for homeless people. That's what they do for a living. Now, you may, some of you who've been around this parish for a while, know that the hostel on Hartington Street has been bought by Green Pastures and repurposed into a Christian-led, Christian-run hostel. And it now occupies about 28 residents there who are run in a Christian manner, in a Christian approach. And the manager there was headhunted from our office because the manager there is Sonia Robinson. So the partner that we're working with is Sonia Robinson. She's not somebody strange who's come in from outside. She's not somebody we don't know. She's not somebody we've never met before. The partner in this project is Sonia. And we're working towards signing a partnership agreement between Green Pastures and ourselves, the PCC and DCC, representing us here at St. Thomas. And we want to redevelop the St. Thomas Church Hall, which has become a massive eyesore and has become a real drain on us as a parish. We have to pay £5,000 a year just to insure it, and yet it's falling down. It's a magnet for antisocial behaviour and for fly tipping. We're constantly clearing it. And over the next 12 to 18 months, they will demolish the hall and they will build 10 to 12 studio flats as what they call move-on accommodation from their hostel. So people go into the hostel when they first need the support, but before they move into their own house, they go to a halfway house where they get taught life skills and ability to budget, to sort out how they're going to work out their food, etc., etc., employment skills, to enable them to move on into independent living. And they will be with us at the St. Thomas development for about 18 months or so. Dave, just hand over to you. We've talked a lot about this, we've talked to a lot of partners about this in the city. Is there a need for this sort of thing? Do you know anything else that's like this that people will talk about?
Yes, there's very much a need, and we spent some time talking to the City Council Planning Department and the Housing Department. And the truth is, if there's about 3,000 people who are homeless in Derby, by which I mean there are lots of young people who are living on other people's settees. They're not on the street, but they have no place of their own. So there's a huge demand, even in a city as small as Derby. And I think when we go home today after this service and we shut the door behind us, whether that's a door to our flat, our house or our room, that door represents security. It represents you. It represents your safe place. And speaking as someone who used to work in the health service and mental health services, I can tell you how important it is for recovery to have that safe place. A place where you can feel, I'm okay here. And from there you can reach out and you can build. But we know that we're not built as human beings to be isolated. Once upon a time in mental health services we thought it was a good idea if we could be independent. And what we have learned over the last few years, which the church has known for years, is that we are interdependent. That we rely on one another. We're not islands. So the idea behind these things is that you have a safe place, you have your own front door, you have your own room, a place you can call your own, but you also are part of a wider community and can gain some support. And that support comes from a support worker that you might know from Green Pastures, but it will also be your growing church family. We had in the verse we heard earlier how God puts the lonely in families. How does he do that? He does that by having these relationships. We form these relationships and get to know one another. So yes, there's a real demand, And for those people that have done well in the hostel, they have moved forward, they've come off drug dependency, for example, or they've escaped trafficking, because we also work with Rebuild and those people who've been victims of human trafficking. It still takes at least 2 to 3 years before any accommodation could be offered on the current waiting list from the council. And that's why we're saying 2 years, 18 months, because that's what the council said, yes please, if you could do that and offer a continuation of a journey. Because the worst thing possible is to have made progress and then to be stuck and not able to take the next step. We'd all find, if we were waiting for 2 years or more to be able to move on, that would set us back, wouldn't it? We all like to think we've got hope for the next stage. So yes, there's a need. Yes, we've been asked to do it. And you know what? My first introduction to this parish was being asked by Simon to climb up on that roof and evict the pigeons and try and put a tin lid over some of the... And I have to say, it was a bit precarious. And when I looked over next door, I could see that the roof slides were sliding off the roof into next door's garden. I wouldn't like to live in that house. So I think we owe it to our community to make the place look healthier. And, you know, it's become a bit of a running joke with us at St. Tom's. What are we going to get delivered to our door now? A few months ago, we had a door, a whole door, didn't we? Mm-hmm. If anyone wanted a door frame, we have sofas. Everything gets thrown in the space. Because it looks like it's a tip, people are using it as a tip. And I think we owe it to our environment and the people around us to do something about that. And I'm appalled that we're spending £5,000 to insure a place which I really want to push over as soon as possible. So, yes, there's a need for a number of reasons.
But thanks, Dave. That's brilliant.
There you go.
So, yeah, it's our building. As a church, we own it as a PCC. That building is ours, that we have, and it's our responsibility to do something about it in some ways. But we wanted to create that safe place to live that Dave so vividly described to us. But we don't want to just leave it there. We want to create a shared space to thrive. A shared space to thrive. And that means we want to work to support those residents to help them get them back on their feet. We don't want just to live in our units behind us and just say, it's great that they're behind there and it's really good that they're having a good time and we'll meet in our church and never the twain shall meet. We recognise that it needs to be a part of us and share with us. So we want to redevelop part of our side aisles, put some screens on like you guys have got here at St Augustine's, to create a training room, to create a counselling room, and to create a place, an office that we can run this from. So it's just the same as you guys have got to screen off the two sides to make some more space for that. And that will also help those of us who go to St Thomas's because it's flipping cold there. Because actually what you can do is you can create separate rooms that we can heat and screen off that we're not heating up the ceiling. So it actually will help us with the heating bills, which we all know what the problem with the heating bill is at the moment. So it's going to have a help for us there. And we want to work as a congregation to support community groups to use that space during the week to help these people there. Now, you might think it's strange to turn your church into a combined use with something else. You might find it's a bit odd that you're taking your church and sharing it with somebody else. Joe, you've been moved around lots of places in the country. Do you know any other churches that have done this before? Do you know anything that churches have worked with community and how has it worked?
Yes, Simon. As you mostly know, I've been in a number of different churches, different denominations, different parts of the world. But what's noticeable to me is when a church is open to more than its own Sunday service needs, it gains life. It becomes much more vibrant and alive. And if I think around some of the churches I've known that have shared their inside space, I can think of projects a bit like we'll be doing at St Thomas's, which have counselling rooms and training rooms and meeting rooms and so on, in a side aisle. But I can also think of buildings which have been converted, for example, into workshops for upcycling furniture that homeless people work in, I can think of clubs which are run for people from the local community, rather like a village community centre. And all of these things grow the community of God in a way which I think is really healthy. Bringing people in, giving them this safe, shared space. And I think that it requires us to let go and look around us and match up our community and its needs with very open eyes. And David's talked about some of the needs in this community. But also to look with fresh eyes at the facilities that we have, the buildings we have, the space we have around, and the partnerships we have, and see how we can marry those up to make a new and vibrant community.
Brilliant. Thank you, Jo. It's certainly not unusual. I know a church not very far away that has a crypt that gave it to a group of people with learning difficulties about 25 years ago. It's called Alternatives downstairs. You know, it's not unusual to share your building with another charity. And so what are we going to do at St Thomas's? We've been talking about this for years. How is it going to actually happen? How can we make this actually take place? Well, Green Pastures are going to build their units at the back. That gives us 10 to 12 people who will move in and become based there that will need those services. So we're creating the demand already for those services. And Green Pastures, as Dave said, will provide a key worker who will support them in that work. And Green Pastures are not building their key worker room in the accommodation, but inside St Thomas's. So they will come into St Tom's to meet with their key worker and have their conversations and have their reflections on their development and their work programme inside church. So that's the first thing that we're doing, is the Green Pastors themselves will utilise the building on a regular basis during the week as their main focus. But then we want to work with Christian charities across the city, and there are loads of little micro charitable projects in this city that do this sort of thing. But they need a bit of coordination and a bit of support. And that can't be the role of St Thomas's. St Thomas's is far too much fragile. It can't be the role of our congregation. But it can be the role of a charity that has been around for 25 years, that Dave and I know very well, which is called Jacob's Well. The charity ran Restore, runs Restore. Dave here is the chair. And I've been on the board for 8 years, something like that. And we've been working together behind the scenes, Dave and I, with this other charity, Jacob's Well, to see if they want to get on board and be part of this project. So I'm going to now ask Dave not to speak as church warden, but as chair of Jacob's Well, to tell us a bit about who Jacob's Well are and why we want to work with them and what they can offer.
So I think many of you will know Restore, and you'll know how that was set up by YWAM, and they got it to a point where it needed to be sustainable in the long term. And that's where Jacob's Well came in. We, as a charitable company, are able to do a whole range of different things. We were set up over 30 years ago now. I forget how old I am. It's a bit worrying. When City Vision was being set up many, many years ago, a large number of us got together, who most of us worked in health and social care settings, but not all. It was drawn across the churches. And we were praying together for the social justice element of the church. So we had City Vision coming together, bringing the churches together and learning to cooperate, work, worship and witness together. And at the same time, this was a movement where people were coming together to pray for how we delivered the kingdom of God in terms of that Psalm 66 vision we've just read. As a result of that, this company was formed, Jacob's Well, as a trust that is able to do a range of different objectives. The key one being bringing people from different churches together to deliver a project, to deliver a service. Because it was recognised then that no one church can do it all. But as a kingdom of God, we probably have enough resources in the city to do the work that God's asked us to do. Now, I don't think that's an unfamiliar concept now. We're used to people sharing from different churches, but back then that was considered quite radical. And the idea of the project St. Thomas fits where Jacob's Well is going quite well, in that we have the ability to bring together different charities and different volunteers from across different churches to help grow this service. As Simon says, it will be inappropriate to expect the 12 people of St. Thomas, who have different gifts, different callings, different visions, to be able to do this thing. But then we exist, we're able to draw on resources that are already there to bring people together. So that's the idea. We bring people together using the building, which is what we've got. And I often feel this is a bit like the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Let's give what we've got and ask God to see what he can do with it. And that's how I see this, really. And that's how Jacob's Well at its heart operates. And we call ourselves Jacob's Well because of that link to Jesus at the well and his giving life-giving water to those that ask for it. And that's our underlying motive and motivation. But it means that the governance, the training of volunteers, safeguarding, and all those other things which are very important can be managed by a charity that has those things in place. And so that saves a lot of time and effort. We are a trusted company as far as the City Council is concerned, and that means that we're able to pull in some and work with them around some of the resources they have. So that's the idea, and that's who we are.
Brilliant. Thank you, Dave. So the 3 parts. The first one was a safe place to live, and we're working in partnership with Green Pastures and Sonia. The second part was a shared space to thrive, and we're working in partnership with Jacob's Well and their team of people who work across the city to make this work. So there's a third aspect, which is we want to create a sacred space to grow faith. A sacred space to grow faith. It will not stop being a church. And churches are beautiful places. Churches are places that lift our aspiration, lift our hearts to heaven. Anyone will tell you, you walk into a church and it feels quieter. You'll feel like you're in a sense of lifted. And funders have even said to me, churches are one of the best places we can to play as well-being centres. They're actually places that people feel well-being. They're just physically, spiritually, mentally feel better in a church place. Most people who drop into St. Thomas, as we get a steady dribble of people coming in to see us at different times, the very first word they say is, wow. Because it is such an amazing architectural gem. As Glenn will tell you, he's been there 40, 50 years. It just lifts you. And so we want to keep that sense that this is a church, it's a place of beauty, but also a place of worship and a place of prayer and a place where people gather for worship. And so St. Thomas's community, which is now led by Beth, who did our reading a few minutes ago, will continue to play a major part in this project as the worshipping community that worships and prays within the building. And so how do they fit into the project? I'm calling all of them, and I think they're responding, to be the prayer base, to be the fundamental underpinning. If we're working with some of the most vulnerable in society, we need the prayer base to be absolutely burning high in terms of supporting this. And then we need a wonderful word that's used and bandied around a lot, but hospitality. To walk alongside people for a season and just give them space in their lives. Space for care, attention. You don't have to be one of the service providers. That's what we're going to work with these charities and Jacob's Well to do. This is simply to be. To walk alongside the stranger, the person who might need an extra pair of hands to help them along the line. And over the last few years in St. Thomas, we've had a number of people come in and out and join us for different seasons, for different time periods. And I was talking to Lucy Jackson, who's not here this morning, but she was saying, you know, in the last year we've had an ex-homeless man, we've had a domestic violence victim, and we've had an asylum seeker walk alongside us, not just once in a one-off, but walk alongside us for 3, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. And some of those folks are still here, and we signed a card for them today. That sense of being alongside and walking alongside, not in a service provider model, but in a hospitable model. That's the model that Warburg Epiphany's done for years. That's what Warburg Epiphany does. That's what Gathering Place does. That's what we've done. It's nothing out of the ordinary of Warburg Epiphany. It's been the vision for the last 15 years. There's nothing out of incongruence in terms of that. That's exactly what has been talked about every single Wednesday morning as we're here. Joe, do you want to say a few more words about how you see the Epiphany Project linking into Tom's life from your DCC perspective?
Yeah, I would just like to say, when I first arrived in the area, St Thomas's was surrounded by hoardings, rather interesting hoardings with paintings on them, and I was very curious. So when there was the first opportunity to come into the church, it was one of those wow moments, because that East End window is absolutely marvellous. And as the church has been cleared of the pews and it's been opened out, walking into that church is like walking into a warm embrace. And I think that's partly the colour of the stone and the brickwork. But I think that affects many people. The shape of the traditional shape of our buildings lends itself to a feeling of comfort and well-being, which is what they referred to. So we start with just a lovely place to walk into, and we've made our kitchens and we've made our server units and we welcome everybody, and we are being uncondemnatory of whoever walks in, whatever is their need. I think many of us have walked along through our lives, have come to a place where we have needed that warm embrace, that recognition, that comfort of acceptance, no matter what our problems. I certainly know that I have, even in the time that I've been in this parish. So, for me, a church, one of the things that really attracted me about St Thomas's was the vision of church being more than just a worshipping community, but being what monastic communities used to be. A place of healing, a place of hospitality, a place of reconciliation, even a marketplace, a place where all kinds of people walked through the gateway and were tended to, whatever their needs. So I see our role as bringing all of these things together. And as Simon has said, it must always be underpinned by our Christian faith. And how do we connect with our Christian faith? We connect through our prayer life and through our worship life. And we have developed several ways of doing that, week by week, but I'm sure that that will grow into many, many more opportunities for sharing prayer with people alongside hospitality and all the other healing needs that this society needs.
Thank you. I'll get the microphone to Paul now, because I hope this conversation, one show star so far, has given you a bit of a feel for the project, these three elements. The safe place to live with green pastures during the church hall, the shared space to thrive, working with Jake as well, and charities across the city to provide support for those people and others, not just those who come in from the units. And a sacred space to grow faith, and the leader of that is Warburg Epiphany's very own St Thomas's community. And we are the three partners in that project that we're looking to put together in a partnership agreement. But Paul's going to come around with the mic in case anyone's got any questions or clarifications for us at the front, and we're happy to clarify anything, and I'll try and use this mic to answer the questions if that's possible.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. Hopefully, if you didn't know what it was all about before, you do now. That was really useful. I'll just start two quick ones off, actually, if that's all right first. If my mum was here, she'd be saying I've been birthed in prayer. It's such a new venture, so it'd be interesting to know how much it's been birthed in prayer. And St Augustine's, if you're on PCC, there's some obvious responsibilities in terms of governance and legalities, etc. But how can the rest of us in St Augustine's help?
Yeah, we are a parish. We called it the Epiphany Project. We didn't call it St. Thomas Project. We wanted it to have that sense of what the Epiphany is, which is a revelation to help people at the point of need. So it's that sense of wow moment. We get it from walking in the church, but you also get it when you sense of when you connect with somebody. And lots of people here have worked in supported gathering place, have worked and come alongside others. There's nothing to stop anybody volunteering in this. It's not an us and them. This is all part of us as a parish working together. It's about how we make best use of the fact that we've got in this church, underneath the PCC, four buildings that we have to manage. And to manage four buildings as a PCC is incredibly hard financially on us. So this is a way for us to say, okay, well, let's share that management with others who know what they're doing. And so, yes, at the end of the day, our PCC owns all those four building spaces, but actually it's going to be not easier if we did that in partnership with others.
Okay, anybody else want to ask any questions that you're burning to ask? So now's a good chance to do so.
Sorry, I feel that the project overall is an excellent project. You know, I think it's something that we need support. It's a very big project to me, and I'm just sort of wondering, you know, we're contributing this morning as part of our gift day to this, and I'm sort of wondering, just for example, Green Pastures are going to take over building of the homes, the new homes, and that. Is that a separate project for them, or is this part of the project that we're contributing to now? I mean, for example, are we going to sort of lease the land where the church hall is now to Green Pastures, maybe on a peppercorn rental or whatever? Are we doing that? Is that another project, but not the project we're contributing to this morning?
To answer that question straight away, absolutely right. That's exactly what we're doing. We're leasing the land on a peppercorn rent to Green Pastures. Green Pastures are a development company. I'll ask Dave to say a few minutes about this as well. But they raise money by the fact that they've got a large property portfolio across the country, about 20 years experience. They've got a large property portfolio they can borrow against. But they also get investment from individuals across the country who want to place private social investment into social outcomes such as helping people homeless. So they are looking to raise £546,000, which they will write to fund that part of the project themselves. But Dave, do you want to say a bit more about just link?
Yes, I think there are separate projects from a legal perspective, in that we have minimal risk of us. We haven't got £565,000 to do this, and we're not asking for £565,000 from our funds to rebuild. The sad fact is we haven't been able to restore and rebuild the church hall over all of these years, and we can't afford to knock it down. So the risk financially is with Green Pastures. They're accepting that risk and they're putting in the planning proposals. But we still need to raise some money in order to be able to do our side of the architecture. We talked about having the office inside the church and the rebuilding the church. So it's best to think of these as interlinked projects. But in terms of the risk, the Green Pastures are holding that risk. And you could argue if everything went wrong, Green Pastures will be left having those units and having to run them and having to bear the cost of them. Things go well. We have 12 people living on the church doorstep wanting to be involved with the church and involved with us. But, you know, that's a kind of extreme way of thinking about both things.
Yep, okay, that's answered my question. Thank you.
Good question. Keep them going.
Anybody out? Too loud, Mark.
Hi. You mentioned on working on a partnership with Green Pastures. So when is that actually going to be signed, sealed, delivered, you know, a signed paper contract done? So when is it actually going to be completed, I suppose, and actually officially gone from working to actually being a contract, you know, being an actual thing that's actually signed, sealed and delivered.
Another good question. We are working to engage a community lawyer, a lawyer for us, possibly Fabner Jeffries or something like that. So we're looking to engage a lawyer for us. Part of your gift day, to answer your gift day, will go towards paying for some of the legal advice that makes sure we do it properly. So the first step when we engage that lawyer is to create what we call a memorandum of agreement between Jacob's Well, the PCC, the DCC and Green Pastures, so that we all know what we're doing. We're hoping to have that in place for Christmas. Then we will work up heads of terms of what we will, what's called legally a head of terms agreement, and we're hoping to have that in place by Easter, because in the period between Christmas and Easter was when the planning application will go in and the consultation with local people and local issues around the planning consents. Once they know that they've definitely got permission to actually do the thing, then we turn into the lease agreement on the land itself, and we hand over the land themselves to build, and they reckon it's about a 12 month build out. So we're looking probably the first residents moving in sometime in spring 24.
Anybody else? No? Okay. Thank you. That was really useful.
So just to sum up, why have we come to you this morning? We've asked you, told you about the three parts of the project. We told you about the safe place to live. We told you about the shared space to thrive and the sacred space to grow faith. What can you do to help? Well, first and foremost, we need your prayer. Please pray for us. We're on a steering group, the three of us, alongside Andy Ward. When he comes back from his extended leave, he's on the team. He's part of the group. He's part of the conversation. Alongside some representatives from Jake as well, a lady called Sherilyn Patterson, who I think Mark knows, who's leading on all our legal side for us and doing the legals for us. Alongside the architect and three people from Green Pastures, including one Sonia Robinson, who's on our steering group. So that's our steering group, and we're representing that this morning. So pray for us as a group as we build our relationships between us. The inside, Dave rightly said that inside is our responsibility. There are funders who will readily fund that sort of thing really quickly because they see the need for it. What we don't get much is funds to pay architect fees to design it. And I'm pulling my hair out trying to raise funds for that. And if we could get some breakthrough, about £10,000 to enable us to pay for that, that would just break us through into getting funding for a number of those big projects. And I really look at, I pray daily for the ability just to break through that last little bit of the story. And pray for a common vision. A common vision for the whole site as we work together on that. So that's your prayer points. Secondly, it's gift day. And the PCC has kindly said that it will be coming all to this project this year. Next year we might look at a project which bases at this end of the parish and put all the money this way. So it's not all just going to the St Thomas end all the time. But just so at this particular point of time, there seems to be the energy behind this project. Let's get behind it while we can. The money will go towards supporting us to get proper legal advice to make sure we don't mess it up. Getting proper architectural advice to make sure we don't mess it up. Engineering advice to make sure we don't mess it up. So, you know, the reason we need money is to get professionals who are not us free trying to do things that we don't really know about. And it costs money to pay for those sort of people. And you can't pay for them from fundraisers because they say you expect you to get that advice yourself. And so we're asking your help towards that. I have got a bit of money to match fund it, you know, so I'm not just looking for you. Finally, we're hoping to run a few open days in the autumn and in the spring to consult with the local neighbourhood, to talk to people about the scheme, what it's about. And you are welcome to come down on those open days. Come and see it for yourself. Come and see what the project's about. Come and say, oh, now I get it. Now I understand. If you see the state of the church hall right now, you'll understand why we don't want it as it is. If you see the state of some of the building we want to repair, you'll understand why we want to do it. And it's our building as a PCC. It's our building as a parish. And we think we owe it to do something about that area. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support. And thank you for you being you and helping us with this today.